إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه وما استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to indeed shower His acceptance and mercy upon each and every one of us on this blessed day of this blessed hour of Yawm al-Jum'ah. Ayyuhal Ahbab, as you have just heard, in a few days we will be entering what is known as Islamic Awareness Month. I honestly believe the importance of this month is just as important or very near to the importance of the month of Ramadan. And the reason why I say that is, honestly, think about who we are, the image of Islam, what Islam represents in the world today, how your colleagues, your classmates, your friends, how they perceive you, your neighbors, non-Muslims in general, what they know and they understand and what they're taught about this religion. And I honestly believe that this month of Islamic Awareness Month is crucial for every single human that calls him or herself Muslim. So if you have an ability to do something, or to say something, or to write something, or to educate on some topic related to this religion, that is a responsibility you should seriously look into, especially in the month of October. And one of the things that I want to help myself and all of you with today is to kind of give you an idea of what every single one of us can do to at least illustrate who we really are, Muslim. And I bring your attention to the final verse of Surah Al-Fath. Surah Al-Fath, the Surah of Victory, is a very special surah. It's a very unique surah. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam once said that the one who reads this surah is counted as though they have accompanied me during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Muslims in the sixth year after Hijrah prepared themselves for Umrah. The Prophet ﷺ saw in a dream that he was going to Umrah with his companions, and approximately 1,400 of his companions prepared themselves and they made the journey towards Mecca. Now at that time, you have to remember that Mecca was actually closed off for the Muslims. The Quraysh at that time, it was literally life and death for any of the Muslims that tried to enter Mecca. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam put aside all of that as the Prophet that he is, and understood that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him something in a dream, it's a kind of revelation. It is the truth. So he treated it as though it was a truth, an amr or command. And so he went around in Medina and says, "Who is willing to accompany me?" Now the second theme or discussion in Surah Al-Fath is you also have a little bit of the discussion between the munafiqoon and the disbelievers with the Muslims of Medina. So imagine now, it's life and death if you were going to try to enter Mecca at that time. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying, "Hey, who wants to come with me? I want to go and make Umrah. Let's get into our ihrams and march down there." So some of the munafiqoon started to say to the people of Medina, "This man is crazy. Don't follow him. Look, it's a trap. He's just going to put you within the guns, within war itself. Like, don't do that." So Allah speaks a little bit about the altercation that happened between munafiqun, the hypocrites, and the Muslims. Surah Al-Fath is also very beautiful, because the conclusion of that surah has got to be one of the most beautiful verses in the Qur'an. that illustrates what a mu'min and a believer should look like. Regardless of age, regardless of status, regardless of background, regardless of knowledge. We are all on the same platform, at the same level, when it comes to devotion to Allah. Meaning, when it comes to our submission to Him. Surah Al-Fath concludes with the true victory of all believers. Listen to how the conclusion begins. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He affirms and protects the title of who this man was. He is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, case closed. So regardless whether you agree with him or not, regardless of whether you understand his motives or not, he is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to him and obey him, because he's inspired directly from me. Now here's the second point. It's how the verse begins to unfold. Now I've spoken on this topic before in other masajids, but I tell you the honest truth. Every time I talk on this particular ayah, something new comes to mind. Something new. The ayah causes you to think, and it causes you to reflect on your life and the decisions you make in life. All of these beautiful things that are important to us. Verse number 29, the final ayah of Surah Al-Fath, streamlines all of those things. Now follow me. Allah Azza wa Jal continues and He says, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. So the ayah started off by affirming that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is the Messenger himself. Accept him for what he is. But then it speaks about a particular group. And it says, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. It didn't say, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُ بِهِ. It says, those who are with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It didn't say those who believe in him. Because Surah Al-Fath is a Madani surah. So this subject of Iman has already been discussed. So the audience in this surah are people who already believe in Allah and they already believe in His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But you and I know there's a lot of people who believe in Him. But not everybody is with Him in terms of legacy, in terms of durus, lessons, in terms of study, in terms of devotion, in terms of love. So I ask you a question. If the world is so confused or so lost about who we are, ask yourself a very important question. If the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was with us today, would he be happy with the life and the choices that you make each and every day? Would he be pleased to be in a car with you? Would he be pleased to come and visit you in your home? Would he be pleased to sit within a conversation with you and listen to the things that you might be talking about? That's what the verse is referring to when you have this concept of ma'iyah, being with somebody, being within their presence. Now I know sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not with us anymore, but his legacy is still here. Sahih Bukhari is still here. Hadith is still here. You and I as Muslims, those who inherited his lessons, his practices, his life, we're still here. I went to the dentist a few days ago. Whilst he was working on me, he stopped, he removed his mask and he asked me a question. He said to me, is it true that in the Quran, the Prophet ordered Muslims to take out all non-believers on earth? That was his question. So me, I'm sitting on the bench and I remove everything out of my mouth and we start having a conversation. In the middle of his process, in the middle of what he's doing, we start having a conversation about the Quran. And I start explaining to him what these verses are, the context of these verses. And he started asking me about all the troublemakers of Islam and those guys who have hijacked this beautiful religion for their own purposes and their own whims and their own desires. We started talking a little bit about that. And he said to me one thing that it really caused me to think. And he said to me, you guys, meaning Muslims, you really need to get this message out there because a lot of people don't know this. You really need to get that message that the Quran is a book of peace. This Quran, everything does have a context, just like all other scriptures that have verses that talk about violence, that talk about killing. They have context. They have a place and a time. So he says, you guys really need to get this message out there because people are asking questions. People want to know. So I put it to the test. I was visiting someone, a non-Muslim, and I brought up the conversation about Islam. And I asked him, and I said, you know what I do, right? I'm a teacher. And I teach Islam. And immediately he started asking me basic questions of what the Quran was. And is it you guys that practice what Prophet Yusuf did? And I said, no, it's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, that's the last and final messenger that we practice, we study, and we illustrate our lives after. They were so confused. It was unbelievable to me, the level of understanding and Islam that the average non-Muslim has. So this ayah is going to help you, and I hope inshaAllah ta'ala encourage you to understand that you do have a role when it comes to presenting the true message of who we are. Listen to the verse. You have to be with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you want to talk the talk, make sure you're walking the walk. But then the verse talks about something that is extremely important and often misunderstood. It says, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. The believers, they are severe against the disbelievers, but they're also merciful amongst one another. Anyone, and I've said this before, translates the word kuffar in this ayah to mean non-Muslims in general, is not only incorrect, but extremely irresponsible when it comes to studying Quran. This ayah is actually referring to those individuals that seek to take the lives of Muslims, that openly call for the torture of Muslims, that openly call for the destruction of our masajids and our Muslim communities, of our women and children. They openly propagate this mentality and idea. Allah says, that's who you're strict with. That's who you're shadeed with. But not your neighbor who isn't Muslim. Not your dentist, not your colleagues, not your classmates. With those people, you have to be merciful to them. You have to be understanding with them. And if you don't understand this concept, all you need to do is look at the legacy of how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam lived with non-Muslims. How he interacted with them. He did business with them. He sat and ate with some of them. He exchanged with many of them. He lived amongst them. But those who were true enemies towards him, he was severe against them. Then the ayah continues. Allah Azza wa Jal says, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Now this comes, and it starts to dig deeper towards me and you. You see on the faces of these believers that when they go into ruku' and when they go into sujood, you see something upon them that they want the blessings and the honor and the virtue from Allah. They want something special from Allah. And they seek this through ruku' and sujood. Now that's important for you and I to understand, especially when it comes to sajda. Sajda is the most crucial part in your salah. Now the ayah is going to describe what happens to people who really maximize the quality and the time when they're in this position of ruku' and sujood. So listen very carefully. They want something special. Then Allah continues and He says, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. You see the beautiful stamp, سِيمَاهُمْ, a beautiful mark or stamp, and it's not on their foreheads. It's often translated that this ayah is referring to that dark spot that some of the people they get because of their sajda. It didn't say سِيمَاهُمْ. It didn't say the beautiful mark on their foreheads. It said the beautiful mark عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ or فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ, their entire faces. How do you know this? Have you ever met someone, fellow Muslim, that for whatever reason you look at them or you interact with them, there is something brilliant and beautiful about them? Whether it's their speech, whether it's their smile, or just their presence. When they walk into the room, everyone is happy, everyone is smiling, everyone is engaging with this person, accepted, this person is accepted anywhere they go, under any circumstance. That's who you have to be. Muslims are the most patient. That's what we're supposed to be. Muslims are the most civilized. That's what we're supposed to be. The most tolerant, the most dignified. When somebody wants to test us, we respond in the most dignified way. Islamic Awareness Month, that's what you need to be. You need to live, walk, look, and behave just like a Muslim. You should do this all throughout your life, but it's really crucial now. Because this Islamic Awareness Month, you're going to hear about it on the news. You're going to see it through all the social media feeds. People are going to know and they're going to hear about it. But they're going to wait and see, okay, so what are the Muslims going to teach us or tell us? And if you sit back and we do nothing or we say nothing, then the troubles and the scrutiny and the constant discrimination that we're being faced with simply because of our religion continues to grow. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength. The verse continues. So you see this person with the brilliance and beauty, and they get this when they have that private conversation or that private moment with them and Allah in sajda. Sajda is the most beautiful part of your salah. It's the most important part of your salah. And this is why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us, as you all know, you're the closest to Allah at that time. Now, when you're alone, you can make the sajda as long as you want. But this is not a reason now for you to go up to the imam and say, can you make the sujood a little bit longer? Because I want to spend time there. You don't get to do that. That's up to the imam and his discretion. The imam's job is to make sure that he fulfills all the fundamentals that needs to be fulfilled so that everyone has prayed their salah completely and correctly. Everything beyond that, so a longer surah, a longer ruku', a longer sujood, that is up to his discretion. He can do that if he wants. But he has to think about the jama'ah and he has to think about that poor lady whose knees are hurting. The poor man that all of a sudden he has this urge to want to go to the bathroom. So he's hoping that salah will finish quickly. He has to cater now to the crying voices of babies and children. He has to cater now to those who have to go back to work and to school or who may have other things that they need to get to. So he has to make a judgment call and lead the salah accordingly. We actually don't have the right to go up to him and say, make your sajda longer, because I want to talk to Allah a little bit more. You can do that at your own time. And you will begin to see the brilliance that Allah will give you on your face and in your life. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us and accept from us our salawat. Allahumma ameen. The verse continues and describes even more intimately and in a more detailed fashion of how you and I should be growing as believers of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Min athri as-sujood dhalika mathaluhum fit-Tawrat wa mathaluhum fil-Injil." So this is the same parable or example that was given to previous scriptures before us. Kazar'in akhraja shata'a. Now pause. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, the one who is with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is like the farmer that puts a seed in the ground. Now imagine he plants something. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's going to hope that there isn't going to be any infestation, that there isn't going to be a drought, and that this plant is going to grow and he's going to be able to bear the fruits at the end of the year. That's when he'll get paid and that's when he'll be able to enjoy what he has planted. But he doesn't know. Allah Azza wa Jal says that the true believer, when you stick and you are with the teachings of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, you become like a shat'un. Shat'un literally means the tip of something or the edge of something. That's why in Arabic the beach is called shati', because it's sand that sits at the edge of the ocean. So the farmer begins to see that in the ground there is a little edge of plant, of life that's starting to grow. And then the plant continues to grow. And the ayah says, فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَذَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ. Continues to nurture it, and it begins to intertwine. So all the twigs and all the leaves and all the branches begin to intertwine. عَلَى سُوقِهِ. And then the plant becomes strong and firm. This is what you and I are. We are a bunch of spiritual crops that are still developing. And you know this because the day you heard the message of the farmer, meaning the message of the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that planted in you the seed of spiritual growth. So, ask yourself, are you growing? How many khutbas and lectures and classes did you need to nourish your soul, to nourish your heart, so that you continue to grow? The greatest tragedy of listening to talks and lectures is that when the listeners, whoever they may be, go home, nothing changes. Life goes back just the way it was. That's the greatest tragedy. And so, brothers and sisters, this ayah is literally an ayah for you and I to assess ourselves in this time, at this day, in this age. Are you with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam at work, at school, in your marriage, with your children, with your colleagues, in the masajid? If you disagree with somebody, do you disagree like the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you just don't get what you want, do you? Are you content like how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been content? If you're upset or you're in a confrontation, do you handle that situation like how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would have handled it? That's when you can say to yourself that you are a healthy spiritual plant and you're growing. And eventually, here is the fruit of that growth. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَاسْتَغْلَذَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِ يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعَ لِيُغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. So here the mu'min is planting a seed and he starts to see something growing and it turns into a beautiful tree and there's fruits and now he can benefit from it. But Allah says, as for the kuffar, they planted the same thing. But guess what? Nothing's growing. So they're looking at you now and they're saying, wow, you're on the news every single day. Your image is being distorted or destroyed. Your name, your religion, your identity is put to trial and put to test and put under scrutiny day in and day out. And you're still smiling? And you're still happy? You're still proud to follow that religion? You still want to be Muslim? That's what the verse is alluding to. They've planted the same thing you planted. So how come you're still growing and you're fruitful and they're still looking for something in the ground? That's what Islamic History Month is about. And that's what life of a Muslim is all about. I've always said that now is the best time to be Muslim. And the whole world is focused on you. Now is the time for you to shine. I conclude the verse insha'Allah ta'ala in the second part of the khutbah. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to increase our iman. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to give us strength that we love and we practice the teachings of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa risa'il al-muslimin min kulli dhanb fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafuru al-rahim. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala amma ba'd. Wa'adallahu alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati minhum maghfiratan wa ajran azeema. Here's the fruit. So you want to know why you're still coming for Jumu'ah every week? You want to know why you're still struggling to work out even those timings. Almost every week I get asked the question, I can't get time for Jum'ah from work or from school. What do I do? So you're still battling with the same question. You're still battling how to fit Islam into your life and to keep it there. You're still battling that this hijab, it's getting tougher and tougher to keep on. But you're still doing it. You want to know why? Because in the Akhirah, the seed, that spiritual seed that you planted in your life called Islam, Allah says, I promise you. I promise the one who believed. And the one who lived the life. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ They lived the life. Then Allah used the word minhum. So it's not even all of us. But from amongst us, it's that special group that didn't just become or play the Muslim role or practiced Islam on Friday or in Ramadan. They were Muslim day in and day out, every part of their life. That individual or that group, they will have from Allah maghfirah wa ajran azima. They will have Allah's pardon and forgiveness, and they will have a tremendous reward. It's not even mentioned in the ayah. Some ulama said that this ayah actually alludes the ajran azima. One interpretation says it's talking about Jannah. Another interpretation says the hijab is removed between you and Allah in Jannah. And you get to see Allah with the same eyes you have right now in His true form. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to see Him. This is the greatest, greatest reward, greater than Jannah itself. So you have to ask yourself, the same eyes that you could possibly see Allah with, what are you looking at right now? How are you using those eyes right now? And that is going to help determine how close you are with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the message that I leave you with, ayyuha al-ahbab. Every one of us have a responsibility as we move forward. Talk to your colleagues and talk to your friends. Engage in at least conversation. You don't have to have debates. You don't have to get in deep theological topics. Just talk about my hijab. Just talk about, I gotta go do that afternoon prayer. Just talk about the Quran. Talk about something. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. Just preach and spread it, even if it's just one verse. Just do it. So may Allah Azza wa Jal continue to instill within us strength. May Allah give us what we need to continue to live each and every single day devoted to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allahumma ameen. My brothers and sisters, at this point, we send peace and salutations to our Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. Kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili, inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma aghfir al-muslimina wal-muslimat, wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, al-ahyai minhum wal-amwat, إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.